Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello Serie A fan, the title race is back on as Milan record back-to-back wins while the Inzaghi runaway train hits the buffers. Napoli and Inter share the spoils, but can the Nerazzurri get those engines going again to pull off a Champions League shock? We'll discuss all that, drama and theatrics in Bergamo, and language lessons you just don't get on Duolingo in this episode of Scudetto. Hello and welcome to Scudetto. We're back after a plot-twisting round of league fixtures and before the Serie A representatives head into European knockout action. We've got a new capolista and a whole load of high-profile games to get through in this episode. But before we get into that, Boaz, it's great to have you in the studio, as it were. How's your week been?
I've had a fantastic week, I guess partly due to some fantastic football results, but I'll guess we'll get on to that.
And are you having a beer with us tonight then?
I'm going to be having a Fat Cat IPA, which is one I've had in the past.
Nice. And I am also having one that we've had in the past. I've got a Hazy Jane New England IPA by BrewDog, which is very good. Right. So let's get into it then, Boaz, because I know you're itching to. Milan have taken the lead in the title race, albeit with an extra game played over Inter. But you haven't had a chance yet to gloat about what happened two Saturdays ago. So on a scale of completely hiding behind the sofa to victoriously singing out of the window at strangers, what range of emotions did you go through on that Saturday night?
So on the same night of the Sanremo final, Olivier Giroud proved that you can do a lot. You can get to the top of the world in just 3 minutes. To be honest, the Derby match, as I mentioned in the last episode, it's a very stressful game for me. And now, especially now that there's going to be another one in the Cup, I don't know if I'll still be alive by then. But in any case, it's obvious that Inter played much better in the first half, at least, and possibly at the beginning of the second half. But once Inzaghi started pulling off certain players and maybe retreating a little bit, confident of the fact that they could hold a result, Milan gained in confidence, and maybe they felt a little bit insulted by that. Something that has to be said is that the introduction of Brahim Diaz was instrumental in the win, and that obviously the plaudits will go to Giroud for scoring a brace, but Diaz in particular was very impressive. And for me, the man of the match was Mike Maignan, who kept Milan in it in the first half where he was being bombarded.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more about Diaz there. And Maignan as well, having a fantastic game. But Boaz, I have to say for the listeners' benefit that watching a game at the same time as you while exchanging WhatsApp messages is a very funny experience. I think at a certain point you had written off the entire project as being a failure, and then here you are.
I was going for some moods in that game. I think it's quite indicative of what football does to us in general, but also how your whole outlook can change within the space of a few minutes. If Inter had gone on to secure that victory, I think there would be no doubt that the league would have been pretty much over. Mm-hmm. And while I still think they're kind of favorites, just because obviously they have a game in hand, but also in theory they have a better squad. But now the pressure is slightly more on them, and ultimately all Milan could do was win that game, and that's what they did.
Yeah, I still have Inter down as favorites as well. They should on paper have like quite an easy run of games now, and you know, it's a question of who's going to slip up more, and Inter haven't done that too often against the sort of smaller sides.
To raise the hopes of Milan fans and Napoli fans and potentially Juventus fans too, I guess, Inter have suddenly started to experience a few injuries, something that they sort of managed to sail through the first half of the season without. Also, in the past few games, not including the derby, they've not exactly been shining. And you could argue that that's a sign of a winning team, like winning games where they would have otherwise not have won. But at the same time, it does feel like they're slightly struggling, and maybe so many games in such a short period of time has finally caught up with them. But once again, I do think that considering the size of their squad and some of the players they have and the options, especially up front, they should win this.
Yeah, they should do. They're still favorites, I think. I mean, obviously, a lot has happened since that derby game, the Napoli-Inter game we'll come to. But the game against Sampdoria, the Milan game against Sampdoria, I only caught the last 20 minutes of this because I had some family commitments taking my daughter swimming. But it looked like Milan perhaps should have put the game out of sight, really. I obviously did see the highlights afterwards. But yeah, 3 points in the end sends them top of the league. You obviously watched the whole game. How was it? Was it a decent performance from Milan?
I think it was a week of great contrast, because first we had the derby win where, as I mentioned earlier, Milan largely struggled and didn't play particularly well in the first half, and yet they kind of managed to pull a victory out of the bag. Against Lazio in the Coppa, they pretty much dominated from the start. And in this game, it felt more like a team administering a result. The aim was to score a goal and then, you know, kind of hit Samp on the break. And I think part of the reason that the game wasn't maybe a little bit more spectacular was because Samp were a little bit bereft of ideas. But yeah, Milan could have and should have probably got a second, but fortunately it didn't come back to bite them.
Mm. Yeah. A few interesting things to note here, I think, after these two games for Milan. One of them, Leao, obviously. I mean, you spoke about Maignan and Brahim Diaz in the derby. But Leao, there have been comparisons to Weah and Thierry Henry in the Gazette. And I think that partially fueled by Pioli's post-match comments saying that he reminded him of Henry. It's incredible, really, how he's gone from a promising prospect last season, really, who, you know, obviously showed glimpses of what he could do and absolute magic, but he really has kind of become the difference maker this season, hasn't he?
So first of all, there we have a Arsenal supporting Portuguese friend of the pod called Serge, who I've been texting for the past few weeks, kind of with a smiley, but writing the Portuguese Thierry Henry every time Leao scores. So I'm kind of subscribing to this theory. I do see shades of Henry in the way Leao starts the way he runs, his body language. Although obviously he needs to come a long way to become the goal scoring machine that Titi was. But as you said, he's really improved in front of everyone's eyes. And we go back to one of our earliest episodes in this season, and I believe Pioli, when he came back to after summer training, he said that the two players that would really make a difference this year would be Leao and Tonali.
Tonali, yeah.
They showed a different mentality in training. And those words have come true. Both those players are really young, but they feel like the most mature players. And Tonali in particular is a future captain. But if Leao continues like this, the world is his oyster.
Yeah, I mean, credit to those players, obviously. But credit also has to go to Pioli, I think. On the negative side, there was Frank Kessie returning to the field, receiving boos when he came on. And obviously the fans had prepared a nice, friendly banner for him as well. But as with this one, I get the disappointment because perhaps less so sort of recently, but last season, beginning of a season as well, Kessie has been incredible for Milan. But I mean, we are where we are. It looks like he's not going to renew. And in a circumstance where Milan are completely on a high, very much in the title race again, don't you think it's a bit counterproductive from the fans that, you know, that negativity and confrontation? It doesn't seem to me like it's really going to help anything. If anything, there's going to be negativity when there should be, you know, riding that wave of optimism.
So first of all, I'll start off saying I generally agree with you. I don't really see a point in booing or otherwise trying to dishearten your own player. I mean, when he does go away, if he does go away, then by all means, do all that. But right now, he's still wearing the shirt. I do have to say that Kessie this year has been, his form has been up and down. And that he took a few days to come back to training after the African Cup of Nations, whereas Benacer came back, was back in the match day squad after a few days. Now, obviously, you don't want to compare two different players because their physiques are different, and we don't know what Kessié might have experienced while he was out there. But at the same time, it has felt in the games where he's been back that his hunger has not been completely there. Albeit he did score against Lazio, so it's one of those ones where I think he would help the situation if he quote unquote tried harder, and the fans would help the situation if they got behind him. And maybe those two things are kind of related to one another. Actually, we've never really touched on this topic, I don't think. But if the salary request he's making is what is reported, then I totally understand Milan's decision to not renew his contract. And I'm not even sure that any club beyond, you know, the mega clubs could really afford it. And do any of them really need him? And in addition, he quite upset the management because he refused any sort of deal to go to Spurs over the January transfer market. So increasingly, he's being isolated at the club, whatever happens.
Right. Okay. Well, let's draw a line under it there then. We'll move on to that game between Napoli and Inter, Saturday game, this one. I actually watched it, and it was a great first half from Napoli. But after Dzeko got that equalizer for Inter, just after halftime it was, and it all kind of went flat. Both teams almost seemed to be playing out the draw. I mean, aside from Milan, who is the draw actually better for out of the two? I mean, to me, people have been saying it suits both teams. To me, it doesn't suit either team, really.
I think a loss would have been the worst result for either team, of course. A draw is kind of a half and half victory. I think Inter in particular probably had two results out of the three available to them, and a draw away to Napoli isn't so bad after all, although their results against top six opposition have not been great this year, and their whole recent run has been built on victories against the smaller teams. So maybe just for the morale, a victory would have been good. But from Napoli's perspective, particularly looking back at the way the first half went, they must have some regrets because they created a lot. And they seem to have had Inter on the ropes, but they couldn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, I do think we have to give some sort of kudos to Napoli, because everybody was saying that their title credentials were completely out of the window, you know, before Christmas, with half of their first 11 heading off to the Africa Cup of Nations. Obviously, that's over now. And Napoli, instead of, you know, crashing and burning, have in the league, they've drawn to Juve and Inter and won every other game since the start of the year. And you said, you know, the opposition hasn't necessarily been great, but at the same time, they've come through that period. So we knew what the fixtures were going to be. I don't know. I think we do have to give them kudos for that. And yeah, for the first half performance as well, they were excellent. But yeah, I was just a bit disappointed, I think, with the way they both seem to settle. And I think you're right, it is better for Inter, but I'm not sure why Napoli were happy with the draw, given the way they performed in the first half.
I did want to single out Victor Osimhen once more, because he was phenomenal in this game. He really ran the Inter defense ragged, and he's a fundamental player, and I think he's got the potential to be one of the top five stars in Serie A easily.
Oh yeah, if not already.
Definitely.
And perhaps if we're looking fit more often.
Yeah, and hopefully that will I mean, the last injury with the facial injury was definitely not his fault, and actually ironically was in the reverse fixture against Inter. And but if I want to single out someone who's should be doing better, I really have to talk about Stefan de Vrij, who has been kind of linked to some big clubs in the recent months. And his performance in the derby, where I mean, Giroud, the second goal was really nice and he turns in really nicely, but I do think that maybe the defending wasn't up to scratch. And again, in this game against Napoli, there was a lot of mistakes. And generally, he looks like he's a bit short on confidence.
Yeah, the penalty, I believe. Is that, am I right in thinking it was De Vrij who gave away the penalty? And I think I'd read somewhere that perhaps it was compensating for that mistake in the derby. He was kind of overly eager. But anyway... right, so both of these clubs actually in European action this week. Inter take on Liverpool, obviously, in the Champions League on Wednesday. F- few big names in Italian football coming out and saying they actually fancy Inter to win this. I very much have them as underdogs, particularly off the back of those results against Milan and Napoli. What do you reckon, Boaz?
I think they are definitely underdogs, but that probably actually serves Inter well. And I think Inter's biggest results in their history have come as underdogs. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I mean, I appreciate it was the last game of the group. And so Liverpool were playing their reserves, but they didn't look that good in the two games against Milan. And I think Inter are a more ready Champions League unit.
Mm, yeah, I mean, good that they've got this far, really, already.
It's a shame that Barella won't be on the pitch for a stupid red card he got in the Real Madrid game. And Klopp himself said that, lucky us, that Barella won't be playing. Yeah. So obviously,
but Bastoni back for this one, right?
So Bastoni has made was quite a miraculous comeback, or rather, he was expected to be out for at least another two games, but he seems to be back. I'm not sure if he's going to start, but he definitely gives Inter more options by playing the ball out of the back.
Oh yeah, of course. Napoli as well, of course, have that game against Barcelona. Quickfire expectations for this one, Boaz?
Fortunately for Napoli, this is not the Barcelona of yesteryear, and while Xavi has made some nice changes, they're still fifth or sixth in La Liga. So if we consider the way Napoli are playing in the league, and if we consider the way Barcelona have been handling themselves, I would say that Napoli are slight favorites, but of course Barcelona are still a big name and anything can happen if you travel to the new camp. But I'm quietly hopeful.
Great. Right, let's turn to that, the other big game of the weekend, the game between Atalanta and Juve, finished 1-1. To start off, let's just say it was a great game. Juve were really impressive, particularly at the beginning, and Atalanta kind of wrestled the initiative from them, perhaps, I don't know, about halfway through the first half, maybe. But a real battle, nonetheless, with that magical Malinovsky special to put Atalanta in front, and then injury time equalizer from Danilo off a corner, just pure drama. But as Atalanta sent director Umberto Marino to do the post-match press complaints, let's say, rather than press conference, about the referee Mariani, there were a few incidents. I mean, there was the potential penalty with the ball going off the Ligt's arm before hitting his body. There was talk of Chesney potentially being sent off for, I guess the argument was, it was clear stopping a clear goal scoring opportunity. You watch this game too, Boaz. I have my opinions. I know I'm biased. I don't actually think Chesney should have been sent off, for the record. But yeah, like I said, I have my opinions. I'm biased. Boaz, what are your opinions?
I think that there were quite a few mistakes in this game, refereeing mistakes, I should say. But I don't think they necessarily only harmed Atalanta. With regards to the Chesney situation that you mentioned, let's get that one immediately out of the way. I don't think it's a red card either. So I can understand that maybe if you're wearing your fan glasses, then that could look worse than what it is. But realistically, it wasn't.
I agree.
If we want to talk about the penalty shout, that one's a bit more problematic for me. I mean, having seen the slow motion replay, it does feel to me that the ball hits the leaked arm. And I think that if I saw this footage, and presumably the VAR team has seen it too, then there's all sorts of internal wrangles about whether his hand was too far away. The rule changes every 5 seconds. But
I know it does.
At the same time, I don't think the era where Juventus were automatically favored by refereeing decisions is still happening. Although it seems like the Ligt has developed a nasty habit of playing with his hands quite wide, which creates these scenarios to begin with.
Yeah, especially towards the beginning of his time at Juve. He seems to have ironed out a little bit, but every now and again it creeps back in, doesn't it?
I will say that it's a shame, because the match was a really fun game to watch, and it's a shame that we're starting this on this refereeing discussion. And this is I kind of almost want to give a dishonorable to the Atalanta guy for like going into the... I understand that
Umberto Marino.
Atalanta, yeah, I understand that Atalanta were frustrated because of Juve equalizing so late in the game, but at the same time, Atalanta only have themselves to blame for not putting the game away. So,
yeah,
such is life.
Yeah, yeah, and Muriel has as well as Atalanta played, Muriel has, I think everyone, including himself, would agree, has had far better days at the office. He really, Atalanta kind of need him to step up at the moment with Zapata for the relatively long term. And his kind of slump in form seems to have coincided with that, which is bad timing.
I was actually going to mention Zapata myself, because obviously just by his sheer size, he gives Atalanta a completely different set of options. Mm. And it felt to me that from what I was saying, Moria was dropping very deep. Therefore, there wasn't really anyone to serve up front. But having said that, I thought that Atalanta really took the game to Juventus, and particularly towards the end of the first half, they really like put on the pressure and could have scored one or two goals. Yeah. But contrary to what I thought I would see, I was actually very impressed with Juventus as well. They're still dogged, and I mean
Allegri-like,
and sorry, such bastards to play against. They sit with two lines of four and the very deep, and you could see it. Atalanta game players getting frustrated, but as soon as they broke forward, the guys up front really started to interchange the balls. And some of it, I'm not sure, is out of the design. Some of it feels like it's kind of let's go with the flow. But if it works, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the guys up front, and I don't want to preempt. I will preempt it, dishonorable, but I think most people probably know it's coming. But what amazes me about the complaints that Atalanta have had after this game is that they don't seem to be too bothered by Vlahovic's outrageous dive right in front of the referee when he was already on the yellow card.
I think that's a bit harsh. I think you're completely discounting the gust of wind that went through the Gervi Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, there was maybe that was the mitigating factor. I was going to say there was like zero mitigating factors. He just launched himself.
It was quite spectacular.
But yeah. Okay, right. I have to ask this again because Allegri seemed happy with the point in his post-match press conference. Who's this draw better for, Boaz? Bearing in mind that this now means that if Juve and Atalanta finish level on points at the end of the season, Atalanta will have the better head-to-head record.
You have to believe that Atalanta are going to, or rather that Gasperini is going to find a way to make Atalanta start clicking again. Right now they're feeling the loss of Zapata, but also they've also lost Gosens, let's not forget, who wasn't playing out of injury, but still kind of a fundamental player. But I mean, I'm sure you as a fan, but as an outsider, I completely trust Gasperini's process. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they'll get through this difficult period and they'll start notching points. And then it's up. It will be I think Juventus's run has been incredible so far, but they haven't managed to get the 3 points against any of the top four opposition. So again, it's one of those situations, who's going to get more points against the smaller teams.
Yeah. I think we also have to throw into the equation Jeremy Boga for Atalanta as well, because he already, I think, looks like he's been playing in that side for two or three seasons, really. He's just like fits right in. And we spoke about it before, he had played a minute for Atalanta, but he really is taking up a lot of those kind of responsibilities that Gomez did, you know, taking on a man, taking on two men, beating them and creating kind of, you know, situations where you outnumber the opposition and the like. So, yeah, I think things will come good. Whether it's enough for Atalanta to finish in the top four, who knows, but we'll see. Right, let's move on to the Coppa Italia draw. Because we had the quarterfinals of the Coppa Italia, and it's thrown up the derby again, Milan-Inter, and it's thrown up Fiorentina-Juve. So, Boaz, your favorite kind of, your favorite themes of those two semifinals? I think I know what you're going to say for one of them.
First of all, I mean, we should mention that before the Milan-Lazio Coppa game, in the week, Sarri had made like a big point about complaining about the format of the cup and how it favored only the big clubs and how it should be more like the English format, etc., etc. Never mind the fact that the last two editions of the Coppa Italia have had the most TV ratings in decades, and never mind the fact that the cup was previously the way he describes it and it didn't work at all. But in any case, after complaining about this, he then fielded a half-hearted team against Milan and got smashed 4-0, which is kind of laughable. That aside, the draws set us up with Vlahovic returning to Florence just a few months after leaving, and that's going to be tasty for sure. And in Milan, of course, we have Mr. Hakan. Yeah. I was going to say returning to San Siro, but that doesn't exactly make sense.
It doesn't quite work.
Playing against his old teammates yet again. And he set up a goal in the last derby. He, of course, scored a penalty in the first one. So he's obviously not backing away from this. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Right, we're going to move on to best of the rest now. So just finishing up with the weekend's action. Roma left it late to snatch an injury time equalizer in a 2-2 draw away to 10-man Sassuolo. Lazio made it 3 wins in 4 and 10 points out of the last 12 with a 3-0 win over Bologna. In Monday night's game, there was more drama as Amrabat scored with a last-minute effort from outside the box to give Fiorentina a 2-1 win away to Spezia. And I think the two other notable results this weekend, Verona demolishing Udinese 4-0 and Venezia getting an invaluable 3 points with a 2-1 win away to Torino that puts them level on points and goal difference with Cagliari in 17th. In other news, the Court of Appeals has rejected Inter's demands to be awarded a 3-0 win against Bologna for that game that was postponed earlier this season. So that match will go ahead at some point, and that's presumably good news for Milan and Napoli. And Atomic Ant, Giovinco, has signed for Samp, Boaz.
It's a very bizarre signing. It's great to see him back in Serie A, but he just played a few seasons in Saudi Arabia, and before that he was playing in the MLS. So I'm not sure what Sampdoria expect to receive from him, but
yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, well, hopefully it works.
Also, I was really sad to see a photo of him because I still remember Giovinco as a up and coming 20-year-old, and he looks like a he looks like a man his age.
Right. Okay. Just the last few bits of this section. Lazio have reportedly made a move to sign Romagnoli from Milan, with his contract talks at Milan seemingly running out of steam.
Former Roma youth prospect, so yeah. That would be a return to the capital, but on a different side.
Yeah, doing a bit more of a detour than Pedro did, but yes, the same move.
Salernitana,
a reverse Nesta. There you go. Salernitana have sacked Stefano Colantuono and appointed Davide Nicola as their third manager of the season. They obviously see something in Davide Nicola which makes them think that he'll be able to turn it around. So best of luck to him. And following the shock resignation of Paolo Dalpino, Serie A has a new president, a.k.a. Carlo Bonomi, whose candidacy picked up momentum in recent days. Right, I think that's us done with best of the rest. So it's time for good week, bad week. Boaz, I think I'll let you do the honors because I don't think I'm going to complain. I don't think I'm going to argue with you on this one. Good week this week.
3 matches played, 7 goals scored, derby won, into the semifinals of the cup. I think Milan had a good week, and I think considering in the last episode we gave them a bad week, it's really time to even that out a little bit.
There we go. Right, so let's move on to bad week then. Yeah, good week Milan. And bad week. There are a few potential candidates for this. Udinese with that 4-0 defeat and Bologna losing 3-0 to Lazio. But for my money, I think it's got to go to Atalanta. They had that defeat to Cagliari, obviously, the weekend before this. Then lost to Fiorentina, a 10-man Fiorentina in the cup. And then that game against Juve where, you know, they could and possibly should have won, not necessarily on the balance of play, but, you know, on the events and the chances.
There's obviously no shame in drawing to Juventus, but yeah. the result in the cup against 10-man Fiorentina was disappointing, and losing to relegation-threatened Cagliari was also quite a shock result. in a week where all the other top six contenders won.
Yeah, I think we have to give bad week to Atalanta. It kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
It's also for their moaning.
And for their moaning. Okay, that seals it. Right. Okay, so good week Milan, bad week Atalanta. Right, Boaz, it's time for Keeping Up with the Italians.
I like this theme song. So European Cup winner Jorginho has added yet another medal to his trophy cabinet by winning the Club World Cup with Chelsea. Well done to him. Zeno Ibsen Rossi has joined Dundee in Scotland to fight for Premiership salvation, having already played for Kilmarnock. And in his presentation photo, he looks quite unhappy as well, so good on him. My main man, Wilfred Gnotto, scored a header for league leader Zurich and continued his good streak, scoring his fifth goal. And Francesco Margiotta won the Australian FFA Cup with his Melbourne victory, setting up the second goal. Mario Ferri, also known as the Falco, the Eagle, continues his globe-trotting career, signing for United Sports Club in India. And he's quoted as saying he wants to be the first Italian professional to play in every continent.
Except for Antarctica, presumably, Boaz.
He'll set up a club there too and play if he has to.
Maybe every continent that has a recognized football association.
Either way, he's already played in Africa, Europe, Asia, and North America, I believe. So he's missing just South America and that's it. So good for and Australia.
There you go.
Moving on swiftly to our Turkey section, Mario Balotelli bagged a brace in his club's victory and is now in double figures. Fabio Borini showed him that he can score a brace as well in an epic 5-4 victory, which has now become infamous because goalkeeper Emiliano Viviano was shaking like an electronic toothbrush in electric toothbrush in the freezing temperatures. And he looked like he was in some severe pain, and some memes Her around guy. Italy were photoshopping him into the Leonardo DiCaprio position in that raft in Titanic. But yeah, I think that's an honorable. I'm not sure why he wasn't wearing like long trousers or something.
He looked soaking as well though.
Yeah, it was terrible. Poor guy.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Not worth it.
So you've kind of semi kicked off the honorable mentions there with the heroics of Emiliano Viviano, but I'm gonna let you now formally kick off the honorables, and you've got one, I think it's a dishonorable actually, for Dumfries.
Anyone who's eaten with an Italian will know that Italians are quite particular about their food, and rightfully so. Italian food is the best food in the world, in my opinion. Having said that, Denzel Dumfries almost started a diplomatic incident in the Inter training ground when he added some chicken to his pasta al pesto. And apparently he was getting a lot of dirty looks, and some of the older players in the team told him never to do that again.
This is like that time there was the video of McKennie at the Juve training ground saying that he put like barbecue sauce on his pizza and stuff. Right. Okay. So I'm just going to start off with my goals honorable, and I just a bit of a spoiler here is my only honorable mention, because all of the rest of them are dishonorables this week. But a few strong entrants for the goals honorable this week. We had Traore for Sassuolo against Juve in the cup, Milenkovic for Fiorentina against Atalanta, also in the cup, with that incredible dramatic late winner from outside the box, and the Leao Maignan combo for Milan's winner versus Samp. But the winner this week, we've given them bad week, so to even that out, the winner is going to be for Atalanta's Malinovsky for that hammer of a left foot against Juve. Just an incredible strike, and I don't know what he's got in that left boot, but yeah, rocket power of some form.
Famously, only Messi has scored more goals from outside of the area in the top five leagues in the past few years.
Yeah, I saw that stat actually, and I think three of the top five players in that list currently play in Serie A. So there you go. Right, Boaz, you've got an honourable for Koulibaly.
Yeah, this was following Senegal's victory in the African Cup of Nations. There was a lovely scene of Koulibaly, who gathered around what he was calling, come over here, my Italians. And he gathered Koulibaly. He was there, Balotore, Mbaye of Bologna, and Keita Balde. And they all kind of sang Campioni, Campioni. So, I mean, it's nice that they gave a little shout out to Serie A and to their Italian fans in the midst of that fantastic celebration.
Yeah, legend. Legend.
And Balotore, it has to be said, I heard this off the Milan Obsession podcast, but essentially he played 10 minutes in the whole tournament because he was injured and then he caught COVID or the other way around. But in any case, comes back home with a winner's medal.
Nice. Nice work if you can get it.
Definitely.
Right. So this is my first dishonorable and kind of preempted it earlier, but it's for Vlahovic for that outrageous dive. Let's not go into it again. But
Kenny, it's
you know what you've done.
Gust of
you know
wind, what you've done. Gust of wind.
Boaz, you've got, is this this is an honorable, isn't it, for Jeremy Boga?
Yeah, this was tweeted by Opta Paolo, but essentially Jeremy Boga is the first outfield player to have not received a yellow card in his first 100 Serie A appearances ever since the 3 points were introduced. So, I mean, considering he's a outfield player and he's quite energetic, that's impressive.
Yeah, yeah, love him. Right, time for my second dishonorable. And not my last one, might I add. And this one goes to Cutrone for calling Cranio. I don't really know how to translate this, but balbuziente di merda is what he was caught on camera saying towards Cranio, which I guess the best English translation you can get is like piece of shit stutterer or stuttering shit or something like that. But yeah, just very nasty. But I mean, I think
this is the kind of tips you don't get on Duolingo.
Exactly. But I mean, I think in fairness, it was more out of frustration. Cranio just keeping him at bay, and he apparently apologized profusely afterwards, and Cranio accepted it very gracefully. Apparently, accepted the apology. So there you go.
It does seem a bit strange to get that upset about the opposition keeper doing his job and not letting you score.
yeah maybe there was more to it than that. Maybe there was a little bit of on-field shenanigans that we're not privy to. But as this is an honorable for Caprari and Barak.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a big episode and we've obviously been talking about the big teams, but quietly Verona are massing goals and results. And considering the manager change over the summer, I wasn't sure what they'd manage to pull out the bag for this season. But they've been really exciting, and those two in particular have managed to bag 18 goals and 9 assists between them. And up until this season, Verona had never won. They've never won more than 3 games with more than 4 goals, and this season they've already done it 4 times.
Wow! There you go. Good stat. Right. This is my final dishonorable. But it's in good spirit, this one. I've got 2 entries into the Morata Challenge, which our listeners will know is for just absolutely awful missed chances. And the first one was
Didn't we change the branding?
I think it became the Morata Challenge because it was initially the Gagliardini Challenge. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so it remains the Morata Challenge. The first one goes to De Ligt against Sassuolo in the Coppa, and the second one's for Hattabor, for Atalanta against Juve in the league. And the reason I haven't given a description of either is because they both did pretty much the identical thing of managing to hit the woodwork from about a yard out with the goal absolutely gaping. So yeah, dishonorable. And Boaz, to finish us off, you have got an honorable for the great Pippo Inzaghi.
Yeah, and often it was said when Pippo was playing that it looked like he wasn't really in the game and he wasn't really interested, and suddenly he'd come in, and it feels like his management career is a little bit the same. it was reported at the beginning of last week that Cellino had fired him from the Brescia position, despite Brescia being third in the league. And then it was soon reported that Inzaghi's lawyers were quickly showed Cellino the contract where it stated that Cellino was not allowed to fire Inzaghi as long as the team were in the top 8 positions in Serie B. So Inzaghi is pretty much untouchable right now. And he was nice. back in the dugout quite awkwardly, I might add, for the game this week. So it's just one of these scenarios where Cellino acted like a dick. I'm sorry, but that's his modus operandi. And Inzaghi is now like having to sheepishly get back to his job, which he's doing a pretty decent job, actually.
Yeah, he is. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for that, Boaz. Thank you to all of our listeners. That is all we have time for this week. As ever, please do subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio. Thank you very much for joining us. Until next week, enjoy the football.
La Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001.
Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto della squadra nerazzurra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.